Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Say what you wanna say.
From the studios of New York Public Radio and live on Facebook, this is the Soundcheck Podcast. I'm John Schaefer. In case you haven't noticed, psychedelia has been creeping back into rock music lately. A good case in point is this music from the Long Island-based artist named Zuli. His debut LP is called On Human Freakout Mountain, and it is full of echoes of the late Beatles or early Pink Floyd, some Beach Boys-style harmonies, and it's also full of unexpected sonic twists and turns. You can follow Zuli and his band through some of those twists and turns because they are here in our soundcheck studio to play some songs for us. This first one is called Follow You.
But I've lost it somehow. My whole world's turning.
That is a song called Follow You from the band Zooli, live here in the Soundcheck studio. You'll find it on the album called On Human Freakout Mountain. It's also available on the single that has been released by Zooli. Zooli is largely the work of Ryan Cummins-Zooli, who sings and plays the guitar. He's here with the Zooli Boys, which is Alan Ware on keyboard and the all-important tambourine, and backing vocals, Greg Coffey on bass, and more backing vocals, and Kyle Conlon behind our drum kit. So, Ryan, that's a restless little song there. Can't decide whether it wants to be kind of a slow ballad thing or a kind of an up-tempo rocker.
Yeah, it's nice. Yeah, you get a little taste of everything in that one. I always thought, like, when figuring out the album order, it was like, yeah, we'll start with this guy. It kind of gives you a nice wide spectrum.
Yeah, speaking of wide spectrums, your voice sounds like it's coming to me from the speakers of Yankee Stadium or something like that. Thank you.
Yeah, of course.
So that's just a foot pedal and...
Yeah, it's... crazy, the things we can do these days.
Well, yes, and I'm not certainly the first person to have used the words psychedelia and Zooli in the same sentence. Mm-hmm. Although, I have to say, this record does not, you know, doesn't have 20-minute freakouts the way, you know, early Pink Floyd did or stuff like that.
Yeah, no, I think psychedelic stuff, that's always been kind of something that people have gravitated towards with the music. I think it's cool. I think it's fine. I don't know if it'd necessarily be my first genre or whatever I would pick for the songs. I think it's definitely inspired, but I think it's done more in a little more of a tasteful way, as rather than like crazy ominous stuff going on.
Well, but you know, that style, although we associate it with like the late 60s, early 70s, it never really left rock music.
No, and that's what I mean, even. Like, I think plenty of people have incorporated it and not necessarily labeled themselves as that. So,
well, a band like Of Montreal. You know, I mean, that's
one of the great.
That's a pop band that's kind of suffused with psychedelia, but still working with pop song structures. You're working with pop song structures, but as we've just heard, you seem to like playing around with them as well.
Yeah, I kind of always say I think the melody and, you know, things like that are the most true thing to me in terms of writing songs. And then after that, everything else is just giving it a nice little weird twist. It's like, oh, this would be cool. Maybe a little funky guitar picking and stuff like that to... you know, make it its own thing.
Well, now, I mentioned that on Human Freakout Mountain, which is a very psychedelic-sounding title.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
that's your debut LP. There was an EP before that.
Supernatural Voodoo.
Right, which, you know, is also kind of a trippy title. How much has changed for you between the release of that EP in 2015 and this new LP?
I think a lot in terms of how I approach writing a song emotionally, like being more honest with myself and the material I was using, which I think is the biggest evolution between the two. I think at the end of the day, both albums was kind of going in with the mindset of like, okay, like I want to write timeless kind of songs that just like at the end of the day, I can play them on an acoustic guitar and just like the melody is great and it just feels good all around, simplified or with a bunch of weird psychedelic stuff going on. But yeah, I would say on this album, I was kind of digging more into myself a little bit, and a lot of the songs are even inspired by close friends and stories of people I know and things like that. So,
well, it does seem like a lot of the album, a lot of the songs, if not specifically being about youth, are about being in that time of life where you're no longer, you know, like a teenager, and yet you haven't fully become whatever you're going to be as a quote unquote adult.
Yeah. I think, you know, as cheesy and as corny as that may sound, it's a real thing that everybody goes through,
and
even in other times in your life, not just this period, but it kind of informed a lot of it, and a lot of people I know are going through it. I mean, even all of us are still in the midst of it in some senses, you know. I'm sure my mom and dad are listening, and I still live at home with them just to help pay the rock and roll bill. I think it goes deeper than that too, just because as much as this time period is reflective and growing and becoming who you want to be, it's also just trying to figure out how that whole aspect of your life is going to work. Like, okay, if you want to do this, what are the steps you got to do? What if you fail? What if, you know, what if everything goes the way you want it to and it's not all it's cracked up to be? So there was a lot of that in play too. Just, okay, like, this is what I want to do and how am I going to get there and, you know, what all that takes.
And certainly you're not the first person to tackle that. And I don't know if the album title is a callback to Sugar Mountain by Neil Young. Do you know that song?
No, I actually don't. I feel really embarrassed to say that just because Neil is one of the greats.
Yeah, well, I mean, he wrote Sugar Mountain, I think, when he was 19. And it's, you know, the line he keeps coming back to is, you can't be 20 on Sugar Mountain, though you think you're leaving there too soon. It's about that time period and that feeling. And, you know, it has turned out to be a kind of a timeless song for him, you know?
Me and Neil on a mountain. I definitely need to check it out.
He's on a different mountain from Freakout Mountain, but so you're living on Long Island still, right?
Yeah.
Long Island has had it's sort of punched above its weight musically, hasn't it?
Yeah, I feel like for a while Long Island had such a bad rap for some reason. Like people in Brooklyn were like, "Oh my god." I mean, maybe it's just because of like the whole like pop punk and like emo thing that was coming out of Long Island for a long time, but I've had no issue, you know,
representing for Long Island.
And yeah, like you're saying, a lot of greats, Lou Reed, Freeport, right by me. And so many, even like a lot of smaller indie bands, Mr. Twin Sister, I don't know, lots of guys.
So is there enough to kind of support a scene, or is most of the work here in the city?
Well, I would say a lot of the shows happen here just because unfortunately that aspect of Long Island hasn't like blossomed with like venues and things like that. But the guys and I are all part of a creative crew called Contemplate that's all based out of Long Island, and there's lots of artists and designers, musicians, bands and things like that we've all kind of found each other and worked together and put on shows and put out music and you know, art shows as well and all of that. So it's nice, we kind of have our nice little separate hub that we can kind of go and do our thing and then come into the city and have a good time with it.
All right. Zuli is the band. It's the work of Ryan Kamenzuli, who's leading the band. The album is called On Human Freakout Mountain, and they're playing some songs for us today. You want to do Blaze next?
Yeah, let's get it.
All right. Here's Zuli with another song live on Soundcheck.
Now that you
Stopping on a Dime, that is Zuli with a song called Blaze. It's from the debut full-length LP called On Human Freakout Mountain. Once again, Zuli is the work of Ryan Kamenzuli. And Ryan, it must have seemed like such a good idea a couple of years ago to shorten Ryan Kamenzuli to just Zuli. I'm sure by now you have found that there are not one but two other Zulis out there making music.
I found out the hard way, as opposed to doing my research beforehand.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. I've talked to one of them a little bit, Egyptian Zuli. He told me he was going to change it to X-U-L-I.
Okay.
Still waiting for that to happen. He's like, I'm going to keep this going and start playing in Berlin and confuse everybody for a while. But it's cool, you know.
Yeah, there's the Egyptian DJ guy, the electronic music guy, and then there's the Italian Zuli. Who makes this kind of
reggae?
Yeah,
I get like a Pitbull vibe. I don't know if maybe that's just like his like demeanor.
You've checked them both out.
To my knowledge, because somebody like I, especially at the beginning, it was like okay, I was working with the PR and we started putting out some music, and then people were like, oh, I googled Zuli and like this like reggae in a different language came up. Like, what's going on? Or it's like the automation plug.
Right now, what is that thing?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, it's for your house, I imagine. Like, put, you know, turn all your lights on and stuff like that.
I mean, Z-U-L-I is such an odd combination of letters. You would think, I'm sure you did think this.
Yeah.
No one's going to have this.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of just happened naturally. I mean, like, the whole crew on Long Island, everyone, like, kind of is just calls me Zuli at this point. And when I was writing the songs, it was just like, I don't know. Sure, let's just go with this. I'll just, you know, because I was doing it all on my own and all that. So it made sense. And
well, now, I wanted to ask you about that, because in the making of the records, you did play most of the instruments yourself.
Yeah.
And so what is it like, then, to have a band and to have to distribute parts and have to kind of rejigger the DNA of the songs?
I had Kyle play the drums on the debut album that just came out. So him and I had worked it out during the recording, just been like, oh, let's try this.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was pretty fleshed out. But then just for, like, the rest of the composing of the songs, it's just kind of, at least for me, easier to wrap my head around it and be like, okay, like figuring out like how, what kind of bass line works and things like that, and then how like all the instruments kind of flow together. So at least for me, that's how I kind of like to compose. But then once we all come together, it's kind of, I don't know, we're all close friends here, so it's easy. We distribute some stuff. If things don't work out, we figure out, okay, if this isn't going to work out in terms of singing and playing at the same time, we can alter it a little bit here and there, or we better cut that. Like, that didn't sound right.
Well, because a live song and a recorded song are not always the same thing.
Yeah.
They can be very different experiences. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that several of the songs on the record, and this is kind of like a throwback to like 70s rock, they begin with sounds that sound like they came from the radio. There are some found sounds where you can hear people talking, you're not quite sure what's going on. What's going on?
Yeah, that's like a weird thing I kind of picked up from, like, I don't know, listening to like Animal Collective and even some like more lo-fi kind of music, like, I don't know, early Wave stuff or even like the early Foxygen stuff, maybe. Mm-hmm. Some of it was like, yeah, literally like me sitting in a room with a radio and just turning the knobs and then going into the session after and chopping it up and just be like, oh, this sounds kind of cool, and like putting this together. And then a lot of it is just me in a room just like kind of like, like doing stuff like that and just kind of giving it like its own like character. And I don't know, yeah, like in all these like records I was listening to growing up and even now, it's just like a weird element like that. I call it the personality. That's what it's always listened on the tracks on Pro Tools and stuff. So,
well, you know, if I think of a song like Wish You Were Here by Pink Floyd, mm-hmm. which begins with someone tuning down the radio dial, you know, what it does is it kind of takes you out of the recording studio head and puts you as a listener out in the real world. You know, it's like it changes the space, the headspace that the song exists
in. It gives a little more of like a soundscape too. And like,
yeah,
I don't know. It just felt right. I didn't want to.
You didn't overthink it?
Didn't overthink it.
Yeah. All right. Well, all the results are there to hear on the album called On Human Freakout Mountain. You said that a lot of these songs are sort of from experience, you and your friends and stuff. Are people still freaking out? Or
yeah. Oh,
is that
I plan
just like
on freaking out for the remainder of my life. Not by choice, but just how the nature of the beast is, whether it's being in music or really anything. You know, I think like I was saying earlier, like the title applies to this time in life, but I don't know if it's like ever like a never-ending thing, at least for me, I can speak like in terms of music and stuff. Like, I don't know if there's ever going to be a day where I'm like, all right, I did it. I'm like, this is where I want to be and everything's great and it's all done. And if I do reach that point, it's like, all right, what do I do now?
Yeah, right.
Like, you know, so right. I think that's the kind of reason maybe that the album works kind of is just that I don't look at it so much as it's like, okay, this is a time of my life and then it's going to be over. It's more like, okay, this is going to be how life might be for a while. Like, how do you cope with it?
Right. And there are, you know, there are one or two moments on the record where you have like a guitar freak out with the distortion pedal, you know, up to 11 or whatever. But on the whole, it seems to be songwriting front and center as opposed to effects. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know. Even when I'm listening to other artists and bands and stuff that inspire me, it's like, I think that's always just my go-to. Yeah. It's like if I can be humming along and singing the song, that's just like, that's what'll always get me. And then if they're doing something really crazy on top of it, like an Animal Collective or something like that, it's just like, oh man, this is the coolest thing ever. Like, you know,
yeah,
so.
Yeah. Well, I have to say it was kind of cool watching the four of you around the piano here in the studio before we went on mic singing songs from Beauty and the Beast. That was... That was actually kind of cool, too.
Incorporated into the warm-up.
Yeah. But this is a very different thing that you're about to do. Another song from the record. You want to play Still Believe?
Let's do it.
All right. Capo on for the guitar here. Zuli is performing with the band here in the Soundcheck studio. The album's called On Human Freakout Mountain. This song is Still Believe.
Every time
Not psychedelic at all. That is Zuli. And a song called Still Believe from the album called On Human Freakout Mountain. And if it sounded to you like maybe there was more than one guitar going there, Ryan, you were doing some live looping. Now, you've done sessions like this as just yourself and a looping station, right?
Yeah. It's fun.
Yeah. But it's got to be way more fun to do it this way. I mean, that song really comes alive in a band setting in a way that feels a little different from what's on the record.
Yeah, well, when we were all rehearsing the song and getting ready for tour and stuff, it was like, okay, like, the record version's cool, but I feel like it can build to, like, something bigger. And
yeah.
I'm kind of glad it worked out that way because, you know, you can rock out.
Although the record sounds great, and congratulations, Rolling Stone magazine recently calling Zuli one of the 10 new artists that you need to know now.
Yeah, my mom was so stoked. it was unbelievable, honestly. The reception, people were just, you know, really excited about it, and, you know, just an honor.
So what happens now?
Going to be on tour next spring, going to South by Southwest, going to Savannah Stopover, and then I'm taking the next 2 months to kind of start working on new material. Got a couple things in the oven already, and still freaking out, so still a lot there, a lot to work with.
On Human Freakout Mountain is the name of the debut LP by Zuli. Zuli and the Boys here with us in the Soundcheck studio. Guys, it's been a lot of fun. Thank you so much.
Thank you, John.
This is Soundcheck. That's all for this Soundcheck podcast. Hear other Soundcheck podcasts and see other videos online at newsounds.org. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. Our associate producer is Karen Havlick. I'm John Schaefer. Thanks for being with us.